Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast we do twice a week for needlework. Ground cloth stabbers.
We're going to be stabbing today. Okay.
Ground cloth stabbers today. Mm. Yeah, because I'm frustrated because I have these two projects I'm going to do. And over the weekend, I got the linen all fixed up and ironed. And here it lays on the table.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've got to force some time to get it on slate frames.
Yes. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I want to see. I want to post pictures when you get that to that point.
Yeah, Elizabethan Treasure is the first one. Yeah.
Oh.
And then I'm doing that Avlia. I forget what it's called, but anyway, it's going to be a table. Well, here it is, right here.
Something light.
Sea of Light border.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man, that one.
Yeah.
And that's big. That's a huge piece.
Yeah, that's a center of the table piece, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend you put basting lines in that one.
Yeah, you mentioned that. So that will be item one as soon as I get it on the slate frame. Yeah, I'm going to load up two slate frames and go for it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Alternate between the two?
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah. That Elizabethan Treasure, yeah, that's got to be stitched. That absolutely has to. And, you know, we've toyed around with trestles.
Yes.
So there's this what is it, sheep, what is it? Where did I find it? Here, I have it in the notes here. Stitchingsheep.com has a plan for trestles. But it's all metric, so I have to convert. Which, you know, that's okay. No big deal.
Yeah,
there.
You can do that. Yeah.
Most of it in my sleep. So anyway, it looks quite doable. So, and I have the saw and the gear to do it. So I'm going to take a stab. I'm going to go buy some decent wood, not your standard contractor wood. And I'm going to make myself a pair of trestles and see how that goes. And then when I do that, then all these other stands are going away, and it's going to be just the trestles for everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, let us know how that comes out because I'm curious because I was framing something up and I thought, oh, do I put it in, just use a hoop and use that barrel clamp on a table?
Yeah.
And I ended up using my scroll bars because I actually prefer that. And then I put it on my makeshift stand thing. And I thought, I really should get something else made. Trestles would be nice.
I'm going to take a run at it. And I've already formulated in my head how I'm going to build an extra cross piece or two for hoops.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can do everything without, a hoop so I don't have to shove both trestles together and straddle them or something, you know.
Right.
And then a way to clamp the hoop. So I'm going to figure that out. The clamp is probably going to be a wood clamp, you know, from Lowe's. But
right.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a run at that and see how I do. Rookie woodworker, you know. Why not?
Yeah, why not try? I mean, it can't be that hard. They don't look that difficult. I think if it's polishing the wood down and making it nice and smooth, that's the harder part.
Yeah. Well, and the one that I've been working on is drilling holes.
Oh.
Because you got to drill holes in both the uprights that match so you can move the pieces up and down.
Hmm.
And I don't have a drill press.
Oh.
So there's the challenge.
Yeah, because I know my brother-in-law would be like, yeah, you make a jig and he says a bunch of things. And I'm like, I nod my head. Like I understand the words he's using.
Yeah.
And, So yeah, you let me know how it comes out for you. And then maybe I'll get him and Max to make me a trestle.
Well, if I see it going well, I'll just cut some more wood and make one for you. If I think it's going to come out at all respectable.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll see though. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah, right.
I did Oh, I was making, I had to make a couple of box bases for a couple of sewing machines I bought that, that do not function sitting on a table. They have to be elevated. And so you, it's not hard to figure out the box because many of them come with these in a, with a case. The tops are always gone, but the base is there. So you make some measurements and you can figure it out. And I was, you know, I've heard that if you become, you know, to become a woodworker, one of the first challenges, and this may be just fabricated in my head, but, you know, it's something I've carried around for a long time, that one of the first challenges is, can you make a box that's square?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. And I thought, all right, I have a miter saw. I can cut wood square and, you know, I'll get some straight wood. Yeah. The first one was a little wonky. The second one is other than the curve of the wood, which I knew was there, that one I got. But that was a bit of a challenge just in its own right to get those pieces square. I have new admiration for people who come up with these jewelry boxes, you know?
Yes, yes. Because to make it perfectly in that, I bet they have little tools for it. There's got to be a jig or something to make them, because it'd be easy to wiggle them in.
Yeah.
And you didn't, did you miter them?
No.
Or dove?
No, I did. I made rabbits. I didn't do dado. I did rabbit corners.
Okay.
Which is where you shave off half the wood and then put it against the side piece. So I did those the first time. Yeah. It's pretty choppy, but it held up the sewing machine. So I didn't care, but then it was okay. All right, now I got to make a box that I can at least put a square on and not have it, you know, 10 degrees off. I got to go do it. So, 'cause the first one I had to take the chisel out and shave off some wood and it was a thing. But the second one worked out. So I have another good piece of wood. So we're going to try again. Yeah.
So this is why you're not doing any stitching. You're making boxes for sewing machines.
Well, I did. Yeah, I'm not now.
Okay, you're done with that project.
Right. Well, I had them sitting out, and they were resting on their mechanisms, and I mean they're heavy steel mechanisms. But I wasn't sure that was good long term, so I had to get them up off the mechanisms and stored away. So now they're all stored away. But
I'm not going to ask this, but I'm going to ask this. So how many sewing machines do you have now?
Six.
Six. Yep. Okay.
One finished, one completely finished, and in a cabinet, and then one I'm working on, and that's going in a trestle or treadle.
Treadle.
That's good. And that I'm keeping. The first one that I finished, I learned that there's a place near Springfield, Illinois, that refurbishes old machines, and they are particularly looking for treadle machines. And they ship them, from what I've been able to tell, all over the world.
Wow.
And they look for hand crank and treadle machines to ship to places where there's no power.
Oh, very cool.
So the next time we go to Illinois to visit our son, that first machine that I finished, that's where it's going. You know, just here, take it. Because I've had my fun with it. So it's going to go to, you know, here, give it to somebody who's going to use it. Which is a very cool charity to do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where that going. The treadle one is staying here because that's all stripped down and it's going to get painted and everything. That's staying here. But then the other four are going to that place too. people can have them. Yeah.
Yeah. You just messing with them.
Right. Yeah. Tearing them apart, cleaning all the metal, putting it back together, making sure it works right. And that's the fun. And then, you know, what am I going to do with six machines, for crying out loud?
right. That's not what you need. And it's not like you got a big house where you could just display them, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't. And I don't think that would be happening even if we did have a big house.
Margo would not be excited.
Yeah, I don't think so. But yeah, that's where it's going. You know, if there's people that can use those things, and why not take them?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's great. So, that's great.
cool stuff. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, but no, all that's all put away now. I got these two pieces of cloth here laying on the thing. Yeah. We got to make the Elizabethan treasure thing. That's got to happen. Yep.
Yeah. So do you like starting new projects? Do you like all that, you know, getting the threads, ironing it and setting it up? So you like that part of the process?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Getting it
Yeah. See, and I think that's the part I like the least of. It's finding all the threads, finding the materials, you know, if it's not already kitted, getting the fabric ready. I just want to start stitching. I don't want to do that part.
No, I do. I enjoy that. And now it's been a good while since Kathy Andrews showed us how to put stuff on a slate frame. So now I've got it's going to be a nice challenge just to figure that out again. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's getting the threads, you know, just get some threads and, you know, great. But, yeah, setting it up, you know, getting it, knowing where to start and everything, getting going. I think that's, yeah, I enjoy that. Yeah. I don't know.
No. Yeah, not my favorite.
You have plenty of company. There's a lot of people who hate that. Just somebody else set it up for me and I'll stitch it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
You need people.
I need people. Too bad I don't have them.
No, it's just you, and I'm pretty sure Max would tell you to take a hike. So
yeah, that's right. No way. He's like, "What? You want me to what?
I don't iron.
No, no ironing."
Yeah, no, I do. I enjoy that. I don't know why. I just do. Sunday's guest, Isabella Rosner.
Oh, I'm so sorry I missed that one.
Yeah, you were out of town. Yeah, now we talked to Isabella with Susan K. Williams when we talked about the
Stitch Bank.
Digitizing the collection.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was the last one. And that first 100 pieces of the RSN collection are now available. Go check them out. This was a conversation with Isabella, who she has a PhD. In textile arts. She's the curator at the Royal School of Needlework, a research associate at Whitney Antiques. She just wrote a book. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That book looks really interesting. Stitching in and the incarnation and not incarnation.
No, not that.
Not the incarnation.
Stitching Freedom, Embroidery, and Incarceration.
Incarceration. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, Mary Queen of Scots and everyone who falls under her. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, and she does the So What podcast, too, which...
I've never listened to that one. Have you?
Oh, every one of them. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. See, now I've got a new one to listen to.
Needlework podcast, we promote competitors. Yeah, whatever. No, it's interesting stuff because... most of her early things were, she basically wrote a script and read it. She wrote it, so you're not reading it word for word, but it's all history of samplers, textile art.
Oh.
It's fascinating. It's really good stuff. And of course, I mean, her PhD is in that, so she has that research bent to her. And she lives in London, and so she has access to, you know, gobs and gobs of stuff. But yeah. Oh, it's interesting listening. And then she started getting some guests, and they were good. And she hasn't done one in a while. She's too busy to be putting these things together. But, go back and listen to them. So What is the S-E-W, So What, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When you're working out or whatever, put them on. Yeah, you'll learn things. It's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I like those. I like it when I learn things.
Yeah. No, she does a good job. And you could tell it's well researched and it's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So she's the guest Sunday. It's a good one. And next Wednesday we'll have Stitch Hour and Stitch and Chat. I got a little ahead of myself on the Kim Young and her mother's dolls. I thought there was another week left in April. There wasn't, because she wrote to me and she said, May 1 is what you're talking about, and that's the day I'm opening my shop. And I said, well, no. And I went and looked at the calendar. Oh, April's over. Yeah. So, yeah, it was one of those. Yeah. So,
the video of that she shot that you had of the shop from the last live show.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, we got her in that show no matter what, but yeah, it was to show the shop. So the shop is open. Sassy Jack Stitchery is open, and her grand opening event is June 20. But it's open now. What was it? It's Wednesday through Saturday.
I think so.
10 to 6, I want to say. Yeah, I'm sure it's on the website and in the Facebook group. But yeah, so the shop is open. You can go there and actually buy stuff. And if you want to see what the shop looks like, last Wednesday's Stitch Hour, yeah, like you said, she took us around. The signal was a little choppy at times, but we certainly could enjoy the shop. So check it out.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Lots of fun.
Really excited for her. That's a long haul.
Yeah, but I can't imagine all the work she did getting that shop ready. And we were talking beforehand about the hinges.
Yes.
And that's just amazing to me.
Yep.
We have a place called Habitat Restore here, and every now and then they have like the knobs, the glass knobs, or they have the plates that go on the old doors, or there's some, they'll have those big, heavy wooden pocket doors.
Oh.
But I've never seen hinges like she showed. Now I'm going to, Max and I are heading that way later this week. So, because they're only open certain days of the week. And he goes, do you want to go to Habitat? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
You bet I do.
I want to go look at, go look for those hinges. Not that I need them on any of my doors. They would look really odd, but I've got to see if they have them. I just like to see them.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and you live in an old river town, so your odds of finding that stuff are pretty good, I would think.
Right. Right. The Quad Cities has lots of those old houses. So that stuff comes up frequently.
Yeah.
At that place. And they'll post it on their Facebook page, and they'll sell, obviously, quickly.
Right.
Because if you're restoring a place back to original, you want some of that stuff.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen the show yet, go watch it. To me, that was, I mean, the shop is really cool, but that was kind of a highlight, was the hinges. Kim has put a lot of old hardware on doors and everything throughout, like those glass knobs and everything. But these hinges are these ornate things. And the hinge part has like ornate, I want to say spikes. I can't think of the right word, above and below the hinges. So they're not just regular hinges. They're the coolest thing. I've never seen such a thing. They're just neat as all get out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so all the detail she put into getting that house together, the shop together, that is just, it's amazing.
Yeah. I found it fascinating talking about there was a center place where there were fireplace, and it was just a big hole all the, from top to bottom. So they had to put wood in, and they had a hard time finding wood that was as thick as the original wood in the house.
Right.
And, you know, and it was that, yeah, back then, to chop down a bunch of oak trees and plane them into wood and make them thick and heavy was no big deal. You know, now you couldn't even afford them. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yep. And that was just neat. That was neat. And she said, you know, and it looked different where they had to patch it.
Right.
She's like, it is what it is, you know? Yep. And it gives a character.
I wouldn't even have tried. Well, they couldn't match it. I wouldn't even have tried. To me, that's part of, yeah, we rehabbed an old house from, you know, from basically a wreck to, you know, I mean, it was, yeah, they had to move the house, and they had to rebuild that thing on so many fronts. And they put it back and kept its original look. The thing is beautiful. And,
yes.
Yeah, this big wood area here that doesn't match, that's where big chimney fireplace was. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's cool. Yeah. Oh man, it's so, the house is so neat, and yeah, yeah. And then she's going to have upstairs, she's going to have, what was it, two rooms where people, right, can, like, stay.
Right. And so it has a bathroom, and yeah, it looked really neat, really neat. And then she's going to have that,
ironwork?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the stars.
Yeah.
And, I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Because she's got this old, it's a staircase that goes up, and then it's like, you know, how they had those basically walk around areas with railing. And
right.
Yeah, so it's going to go, oh, it's so cool. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like a hotel. You can't call her up and say, hey, I'd like to stay tonight.
Right.
It's not
right.
done now, but like when she has teachers come in, then that'll be a place where they can stay.
Right. Which will make it very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, think about that. If you're a teacher, how cool would that be?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I think so.
Oh, she's got it knocked. I'll tell you, she has it knocked. Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Sassy Jack's is open. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't miss Sunday's show. If you haven't listened, watched, actually, you need to watch it. I was really, it took me forever to get all that stuff together, but that worked out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, that was a fun show to do. That yeah. was, and it was fascinating. The work they put in and the design work on Her Majesty's robe of state, I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was, and it was just so gorgeous.
Right.
So gorgeous.
Yeah, so it's what is it, seven pieces that they did, the Royal School did for the coronation? Was it seven?
I think so.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. So it's a video. It's on YouTube. It's on the FiberTalk page, wetalkfiber.com. The video is there. And we show pictures. It's Gemma and Anne and Susan K. Williams. They're the ones you see. You don't see Beth and me. We're just disembodied voices. But and then we show pictures, and we have excellent pictures. So you can see the stitching and learn about how they did it. And, oh, boy, I tell you, it was so cool to put that together.
Yeah. Yeah. And was it the canopy?
The anointing screen.
The anointing screen. Yeah, that was interesting, too. Just learned so much.
Yep.
You know, as Americans, dumb Americans, what do we know about that stuff?
Yeah.
And just learned so much from them. It was a great show. Great show.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely worth the watch.
Yeah, it's long, so watch it in pieces, but or get your stitching out and just sit there and watch it. But Cindy wrote to me before we started recording the show, and she said she watched it on TV. And I've only watched it on a computer screen. I got to fire it up on the TV to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so check that out. It is. I mean, I think we did a good job with the show, but just to see the stitching and how all those people come together and stitch on the same pieces and you can't tell. And,
right.
Yeah, so which is it for you, the anointing screen or the queen's robe?
Her robe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just all that gold work in there, and the fact that they designed all that themselves, it was just beautiful, and the whimsy of the dandelions.
Yep. Yeah. No, for me, it was the queen's thing. When I first got the photos, I have to say that was, I was rifling through them to see what we had to work with. Holy smokes.
I know.
Because it was 4 meters, 4 meters long. So it's like 12, probably almost 13 feet long.
Yeah. And the color. Okay. So you've got this rich red, beautiful velvet, it looked like.
Yeah. They said it was velvet. Yeah.
And then the gold work on top of it.
Yeah.
And then we do close-ups. I mean, they told us that some of them were dimensional, you know, wasn't just flat on there.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of modified stump work, basically.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I was just like, it was just gorgeous.
And that was, the show went so long. I had a million other questions, but for me, stitching on velvet, gold mm-hmm. work on velvet.
Yeah. I've heard that that's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really soft, flimsy ground cloth. I'm impressed. I really am.
Yeah. Right. Right. And not to crush it. I mean, you got it, you know, because you can crush the pile of it, you know, yeah. if you, and so, yeah, just, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You, when you look at it, the close-ups, it doesn't look like anybody stitched on any of it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mine would be just this crushed down, hacked up. It's just gorgeous, you know, and well, you know, of course we were impressed and everyone would be impressed, but for them, it's just normal stitching, you know, cause it was, well, and you could kind of feel that when we were kind of oohing and on, it's what we do with the Royal School, but right. Holy smokes. I mean, it's just good. It's better than good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know they're pros, and I know there's decades of skill behind every one of those people, but I don't care. That is just flat, beautiful needlework all the way around. So tight, so perfect, so precise. It's just.
Yes. Yes.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
it was
so
just gorgeous. It was gorgeous. It was awe-inspiring. And the size, you know, when you said it was, you know, 4 meters long, you know, I just can't imagine stitching on anything that big.
No.
And the same with the screens. How, I mean, what did she say? The soldier next to it holding it, the anointing screen was over 6 foot.
Yeah. 6'4". Yeah.
I'm like, oh my word.
Yeah. Cause when you see that photo of the anointing screen when it's in place during the coronation, and then the guys standing next to it are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", whatever. Yeah, you really come to appreciate what a massive piece of needlework that is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Stuff is so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. So, all right, I gotta see if I can find a couple of people that we know who worked on it and talk to them.
Yeah. Talk to us.
Yeah. See if they'll share their experience from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So check that out. It's a Sunday show, the coronation. It's all the stuff the Royal School did. It's a video. There is an audio podcast. I pulled the audio track and made an audio podcast. So you can, you know, most people listen to this through audio only because that's all it is. But this time I pulled the audio track. And then, but on the website page, is a slideshow of all the images in the order we talk about them, and then also the video, or you can go to YouTube and watch the video there. But however it works for you, there's a way for it to happen for people to see that. But yeah, make some time. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely needlework, worth it.
Needlework at the pinnacle, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it has to be. I mean, for crying out loud, it's the King and Queen of England. You know, you got to.
Right.
You can't just slop through that.
No. Yeah. Always only the best.
So good. And it's just the way of life for them. It's just amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. You've been doing classes. What do you're out of control.
I know. All the time. My guild held a live workshop, of wool applique with the woolen needle. And I just can't remember the owner's name. I want to say it's Arnetta, but I don't think that's quite right. Anyway, she came and taught a class, and it was a lot of fun to be there with other people and to sit and see what they were doing and go back and forth. And it was simple. It wasn't a difficult class. I've done wool applique before.
Okay. But talk to me about that piece, because I know it wasn't a big deal because when you look at it, okay, I could do that, but it's very cool.
It is. It's called a floral pocket. She designed it for the Guild, which was wonderful. She chose colors. There's only the colorway I stitched was only for the Guild. She's not going to sell that colorway to anyone else, which was really nice.
Yeah.
But she has other colors. But it's you cut out all the little wool pieces and you put them on a bigger piece of wool, and you put fusible on and you iron them together. What was interesting is she, while we were there, people had these mats. So when you're putting all these little cut pieces together, they're easy to get jiggled, right? So people were putting them on these like mats, and I didn't ever find out the name of them, and ironing them on the mat and then repositioning them onto their bigger wool piece. And theirs were much neater put together than mine. They were, it was easy. Mine kind of jiggled a little, and I had to watch when I stitched it, I had to make it so it looked more smooth around my curves.
Okay, back up the truck here. So ironing on a mat, so then the mat goes on the ground cloth?
So, okay, so...
I missed a step there.
You missed a step. Okay, I missed a step. So you take your pieces, they've got an iron-on fusible on them, and then you cut them out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a double... what's it called? I can't think of it. It's a fusible that's got fusible on both sides.
Oh, okay.
So you stick one piece of wool on the top and you cut it the shape you want. Then you peel that backing off and iron it onto your big wool piece.
Okay.
But they're flowers, so they've got different, like there's three pieces of wool, different colors of wool, to make the flower. So mm-hmm. You've got to get those positioned correctly before you iron them onto the big wool piece. And I was just, ironing them on. And other people were ironing them right onto the big wool piece, where other people were ironing the three together and then transferring that one piece of flower to the big wool piece. And that made it much neater to do. And that's something that they had taken a lot of wool classes before.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew how to do this technique. I taught myself to do wool applique, and just, so that's one of the reasons I was interested in the class, is I wanted to see if there were any tricks of the trade. Well, that's one. Now with just three pieces, you can do that. You can iron them direct, it's not that hard.
Right.
But there's much more intricate wool applique pieces where this would be a mess if you didn't have that mat to kind of carefully put things down. And anyone who's taken seen any of Sue Spargo's pieces, they're very intricate. They've got a lot of different cutouts, and they've got they've kind of got to be in the right place or it'll look really wonky. And I can see where that mat would be helpful.
Okay, so in simple terms then, with a three-piece flower, so this intermediate step means that allows you to get the leaf effectively attached to the stem and the head of the flower attached to the stem and not have it separate when you go to put it on the ground cloth.
Right. And I can look at mine and I can see places where I had jiggled it a little bit.
Okay.
So it wasn't exactly really smooth.
Yeah. Okay.
And that doesn't, on this little piece, it doesn't bother me. But on something that's much more precise, you'd want to be a little more careful.
Yeah. So that would be difference making.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I'm intrigued by, so this mat, so they iron it on a mat, and how does that join them all together?
So,
this is getting way in the weeds, but I got to learn how this goes.
So it's the interfacing. You put not the interfacing, the fusible web that's on it. It's sticky enough that it sticks the three pieces together.
Oh.
And still sticky enough to stick it on the wool piece.
Okay.
And because it's wool, if you use a little steam on it, it melds together like you're needle felting or wet felting.
Okay.
Because if you use heat and water, you know, if you ever washed a sweater and put it on hot and tumbled it, a wool sweater, you will felt it, right? It becomes out of the washing machine much smaller. I don't know if you've ever done that. I have.
Nope. Chicken.
Chicken. Well, I've done that. And you've essentially felted something. So when you add steam to these little pieces that you've cut out, that you've pieced together, and then put the two pieces together, the flour and the backing,
mm-hmm.
the steam and the heat melds them together. So you're just peeling it on the mat. I wish I'd taken a picture of it.
Yeah.
Because that was interesting. I learned that. I was like, oh, that's how people get it so precise. Because they had all their little flowers. There was quite a few flowers on this piece.
Mm-hmm.
So they did all their large flowers, cut them, put them together, took them to the ironing station, and then ironed all of them down. And they were all perfect. And I was like, oh.
So there's where the live class pays off then.
Yes. Yeah. Learning from not just the teacher, but from other students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I took a Zoom class with Kim at Sassy Jacks with Jeanette Douglas. Jeanette Douglas is one of those people I've always wanted to take a class with. And so when she said, when Kim said, we've got a Zoom class going, I thought, oh, great, perfect. And it was Stitches Be Sweet. That was fun. It was just 3 hours. It was interesting. I could come in my sweaty clothes and didn't put my picture on so no one could see me. But it's nice because you're not going anywhere. You're just there. It has an advantage. And Jeanette did a great job. She explained how to stitch impromptu. All of a sudden she said, well, you don't have any of this on your piece, but this is how you stitch over one. And I thought that was interesting because I know a lot of people don't like to stitch over one because it's easy to pull it under, do cross stitch underneath. You know, yeah. You pull your thread, it goes underneath, you know, it's a pain. People avoid it at all cost. Again, she's a good teacher because she explained how to do everything that was in the kit.
Yeah.
But it would have been, I would have loved to have taken a live class with her
mm-hmm.
because I think then, you know, you get more interaction with the teacher, you get more interaction with the other students around you.
Yeah.
I couldn't go take a class with Jeanette right now. And so this was a great way to do it.
And that's, again, you never know where you're going to learn from. You just never know. You go to a class and learn nothing from the teacher and learn 10 things from the students. Yeah.
Right. And the other interesting thing is I know Jeanette just taught somewhere in Florida recently. I was listening to a floss tube while I was exercising and the gal who's talking had said, I showed her my piece that had queen stitches in it. And she said, the gal told Jeanette, I really struggled with these queen stitches. Well, Jeanette immediately said, well, let me show you how I do them, and took out her pegboard and did an impromptu, this is how you do a queen stitch. Now, that was because they were live. They were together. The queen stitch wasn't in the sampler or the class she was teaching.
Uh-huh.
But Jeanette's a great teacher. So someone had a question. She had time. She answered that question and showed, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference in a live class. Yeah. You know, that you just, in a Zoom, it's harder to, you say, oh, you know, I had problems with this stitch, you know, because it's not, you know, you have a limited time. Generally, you're not there all day. It's generally a shorter period for a Zoom class than a live class.
Yeah.
And there's not that interaction. You don't show someone something necessarily and say, hey, I had trouble with this and your piece. This is your piece. And I had trouble with a stitch. Can you show me?
Right.
And yeah. In the live class, you have that opportunity.
Yeah. 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 In the break or afterwards, or if there's a lull, right. Whenever there's right. a class and people are stitching, there's always a lull time. So,
Right. And the advantage, of course, of Zoom is, you know, the expense. You don't have to go someplace, pay for that expense. You don't have to pay for a hotel, again, another expense.
Yep. So and the reach they have, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Right. But a live class, you know, you get that interaction and you learn more, I think, from a live class.
Yeah. Yeah, the live class also has that carryover into the evening or before class,
right.
where you interact with people that you can't get on a Zoom thing. Yeah,
right. And there's nothing like sitting next to somebody who's working on the same piece and going and talking about what you're working on, because that was the thing with the wool class. I sat next to Deb DeCrane and Mary Dorder and a few other people in my guild, and we were going back and forth. Well, what stitch are you going to do? And one gal, she had drawn out all her, she'd taken her pattern of the flowers, and she was sketching on it the stitches she was going to do. Rather than like me, and I just like, well, I'll decide when I get to that point. She was like doing planning, and I was like,
oh no, not that.
What's planning? But again, a great idea that I would have honestly never thought of doing is, writing on my pattern the stitches I think that would look good. And kind of making that, doing a little planning to make it easier when you got to the stitching part. Because that's the, you know, to attach everything down on the wool applique, you do stitching on top, surface embroidery.
Right. Yeah, that's a pretty cool piece, that wool thing. Yeah, I like it.
Well, and I have to say, I like wool applique because I think it's very forgiving. You know, it's supposed to look a little more rustic. It doesn't, every stitch doesn't have to be as perfect, like if you're doing a Kathy Andrews surface embroidery piece, right, where you want things to really just lay perfectly. This can be a little bit more freehand.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of the style, right? It's just kind of loosey goosey. Yeah.
Right. And
whimsical.
Whimsical. It's going to be our new word.
Yep.
But again, it's fun to learn in a class setting. I'm glad there's Zoom. I do like Zoom classes. We're going to be having, my guild is already, it's full. Lorraine Salt is going to teach. Well, it would be way too expensive to have her fly here to teach at my guild. That would be so cost prohibitive. No one could afford it. So it made it so we could take a fabulous class with a fabulous teacher and keep the cost down.
Yeah. Yeah. How many small guilds all over the country have not been able to have classes like that until Zoom came along?
Right.
You know, couldn't afford it.
Right. And even our guild isn't that small. But we could only get about 10 people to sign up for a workshop.
Yeah.
Of that, because it's an advanced needlepoint technique.
Right.
So not everybody does that, and so they're like, but we filled it because we made it via Zoom, and we opened it up to anyone who wanted to sign up.
So now you've got people who would never have given it a try, with an opportunity to try it out.
Well, actually, it's we had to have people. You had be an advanced needlepoint.
Oh, okay.
It is not a beginner class. This is definitely not a beginner class.
So don't be showing up, teach me how to thread a needle type thing.
No, and you do need to be able to read a chart and an advanced chart. This is a challenging piece. It's not even an intermediate piece.
Yeah, well, Lorraine's stuff is cool.
Right, and that is the nice thing about Zoom. And again, there's not to have that many people in the guild who could take that level of class. Well, there's not that many in our guild. Most guilds couldn't.
Right.
But we'll learn so much. And I'm planning once we get our kits out to say, okay, ladies, let's hold a Zoom. Let's get the border done, because there's a lot of border to do, a lot of pre-work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can get to the stuff that's the meat of the class when Lorraine's in class with us.
Yeah. Maximize time with the teacher.
Right. Right. And so Zoom gives that advantage that we can do that, and we can talk and say, I'm struggling with this bit or whatever.
Yeah. Everybody can do a road stitch border. So do it and get it over with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Be careful with your counting.
Okay? Yeah. And then, when we get into the serious stuff, then we'll have some help. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Now, there's no doubt Zoom, it always intrigues me. Because like when we record with people, we use Skype to record, and because Zoom's audio quality is not nearly as good, but it just is interesting to me how Zoom became it's a household term now. It's not a brand name. It's the generic term for getting online with a group of people. And,
right.
They hit it. Yep.
So. Yeah.
And people know how to use it. You know, everybody's familiar with the interface, and the pandemic did that to us. And now look at the power of it to be able to have a teacher like that and have a class and everybody can experience it. Yeah. So when you do this Zoom class, are you guys all going to gather in a room, or is it everybody on their own?
I think we're pretty much going to be on our own, because it's hard to find a room to do that where we're able to meet.
Yeah.
That's the other issue is finding a space. The space that we used for the wool applique class is if you know John Deere, donated. it's called the Deere Weinman House. They donated their property as a community center, basically. And so they had a carriage house restored that, like the Quilting Guild use. It's got great lighting.
That's the one we did with Kathy Andrews, right?
Right, yeah. Right. It's a great room, small kitchen, great room. But they have another one that I think they were redoing the inside of that you can't use right now, and they're redoing the inside of the Deere Weinman House too, I understand. But again, to get those rooms, you're competing with a lot of other people. A lot of schools use it. The Quilting Guild use it, as I said. And so you've got to plan ahead.
Yeah.
So
way ahead.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. For the Jeanette Douglas one, Kim was going to have people at the shop there. Was there any interest in that? Do you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if people ended up being there or not.
Yeah.
But that's the other disadvantage for a shop in Zoom is we couldn't shop.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. We all would have shopped if we'd been there.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Spend money. Yeah.
Yeah. And looked at all the fun stuff Kim has.
Yeah. I'm anxious to get there. We're the whole Fiber Talk crowd is, we're putting together a trip in June. We're going to go there and do some shows from Sassy Jacks. So,
yeah. See what kind of trouble we can get into.
Yeah. Oh, we will. But you know, that's the other thing. Jeanette Douglas' class, Kim. You know, Kim has always had classes, but now that she has the shop open, and you know, get on the list so that you can not miss out on her classes.
Right.
Because she tends to put together a string of them, so you'll want to get on the list. Her Facebook page, then she has a newsletter, and then, of course, the website. But get on the list. Yeah, you'll whether it's online or an excuse to head to the East Coast and go to the shop, either way.
Yep. Right, right.
Get on the list. Yeah. Yep. And then what's Ariane Zurcher? We did a show with her. How long ago was that?
Oh, maybe a couple years now.
Yeah.
It wasn't last year. It must have been the year before.
Her videos have not been showing up on my feed. Is she still doing videos regularly?
I don't think so. I think she kind of stopped designing. I think she had family issues.
Oh, okay.
So
life.
But life happened. This wool applique class made me pull out the old, she had a Dorset button eyeglass case. And I took that class and I got stuck. And I put it all in a bag and I threw it in the basement because I was mad at it. And I thought that was the other thing. So once I started playing with this wool again, I thought, okay, I'm going to pull that back out. So we went camping. And I quickly finished the wool pocket. And so I brought out the Ariane Zurcher piece. And all of a sudden it started flowing. I was like, okay, this is what I need to do. Okay, I need to change this. And I think what I was stuck on her piece, is I was trying to use the same threads she was using, use the same color she was using. And my background fabric was different than hers, totally different. And I said, okay, Beth, get an idea of what she's doing. Just look at her image. Don't look at her notes, except maybe for size of something, and just stitch. And once I did that, it started flowing and I could go. And, now I'm fairly close to finishing that piece. So I might actually have two finishes this month. If don't get distracted by a squirrel.
Look at you.
But it was fun to pull that out. Wool is nice in that it's, you know, I don't need a hoop. It's easy to stitch through. It feels nice in my hands, mm-hmm. which is the other thing I like about it. I find it non-fussy, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again,
Ariane Zurcher, if you want to see some, I think, pretty amazing free-form stitching, she's the one. Z as in zebra, U-R-C-H-E-R. Just go on YouTube and put A-R-I-A-N-E, Ariane Zurcher. Just put that in. I'm sure she's the only one. But she had several videos that she did a while back that it's pretty neat, and she describes kind of the mental process she goes through as she's doing them, and it's pretty neat stuff. If that's what you know, if that's the kind of stitching that you like to do, but she comes and then she makes it all work out. You know, sometimes you think, where are you going with this? And then, she knew.
she's got an artist's eye, and I think that was the thing that always intrigued me. She, but you know, she's got a long history. She'd been doing art since a young child. She went to design school, Pearson's. And, you know, so she's got a lot of art background.
Yeah.
And then, so it's, she's trained herself that way. I always found her fascinating.
Yeah.
Always found her stuff
she makes it work, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, if something isn't quite right, she'll stitch over it, and then it comes together. And
or she painted some stuff. She finally got to the point where she was like, well, this is really not working, and I'm just going to paint over it. And I'm like, well, that's one way to fix
it. Sure, why not? Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No.
I do paint my canvases every now and then, but
No.
No. No.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff that she has done. There's a whole bunch. She was doing a video a week, I think.
Right. And then she got burnt out. I think she just burned herself out there.
Easy to do.
Yes.
Easy to do. Yeah. Yep. Mm. All right. I think we better call it right here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yep. Check out the coronation video from this past Sunday. Isabella Rosner this coming Sunday. And we'll be doing the Stitch Hour next Wednesday. So join us for that, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. Yep.
All right.
That's it. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.